Blog Talk Radio.
God in the highest. Praise the Lord and God bless you. Thank you so much for being here with yours truly, your hostess, Lisa Marie, here on Rise of Men Brunch. And what a blessing it is to be with you on this Sunday afternoon. Thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me here on Blog Talk Radio and as well as on my social media feed. And I'm so elated and excited to be here with you for Brassavian Brunch, one of my birthdays that I birthed in celebration of All Sons and Daughters Day on Sunday. And I'm always excited to come to you from Brassavian Brunch that celebrates all brides, winter brides, spring brides, summer brides, celebrated by the bubbly, which is the new wine, of the Holy Spirit, and as well as the first miracle, because Jesus performed the first miracle at the wedding of Cana and turned the water into wine. So, yeah, that's why I have the bubbly, and as well as the brunch, because brunch is my favorite time of the day on Sundays. Breakfast, brunch, because you can have a mix of both. So that's the premises of we're birthing Lisa Marie's Rise Up in Brunch, is celebrating Sundays in a time where the sun is at its most highest. And I certainly hope the sun is shining on you. That's the S-O-N and the S-U-N. And I'm excited to share this week's shower celebration, which is, again, preparation, because everything God does, he does by preparation. As I often say, no one's going to be in heaven that shouldn't be there. Whoever's there is because God wants them there, and they were prepared to be there. Even if they are not, it is by God's favor and his grace that they, we make it over. And that's why it's so important not to play God and judge. Because, again, I have no heaven or hell to put no one in, and God knows. Hallelujah. In fact, he said a hypocrite will make it in, a harlot to make it in before a hypocrite. So that's that. So I'm excited to be with you on Black Velvet Brunch. And just a quick note, although I'm in studio, I'm at Lisa Marie, the Virgin Reigns, on my Facebook post page. Or you can go to riseofchrist.org on Facebook, because a lot of things that I give me and is poured out to me, I cannot fit it all on my information page. So I kind of post it on my Facebook page. So if you want to go to, I want to see everything in its totality that I've written, you can go now to my Facebook post. So I just want to say that. And so I'm really excited to be here with you on this morning, this afternoon, shall I say, to share with you this week's exhortation for Brides Up in Brunch, celebrating the bridegroom celebration. And that's the thing. We are his bride, and he's the groom, and we are preparing for his coming, or preparing for what he has for us, what God has purposed for us, which is so exciting, because everything God has purposed is meant to come to pass in our life. And the promises of God are yea and amen. Yea and amen. So I'm excited just to be here on this side of heaven to continue to glorify his name and to minister his word as a disciple of Christ, being the sheep of his pasture. And one of the things that we all are commanded to do is to fulfill the Great Commission. And the great thing about fulfilling the Great Commission is having a testimony, amen, and being a disciple of Christ. So I'm really excited to continue in fulfilling the Great Commission and preaching the Word of God, declaring the Kingdom of Heaven and its message, which is the gospel, by this medium, by this venue, way of the radio, Facebook post, however it is that God gives you to share his word. It's a beautiful thing, because in sharing his word, you get fed. You get fed. Hallelujah. And it's the word of God says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And before I get into the foundation of scripture for Brides Velvet and Brunch, the bridegroom shower celebration, I just wanted to share something with you, because as I was coming on air, I was just thinking to God and talking to him about where I'm at in my life, and bless him for where I'm at in my life. And the beauty about giving God your youth is that you have the time to work out those things that will, it could possibly be a hindrance in your latter days. And so the beauty about giving God your youth, or coming to God in whatever age you are, is it's just loving him and being obedient to his word and being obedient to his word and just loving him, because my serving God is because I love him, not out of duty, not out of condemnation, but simply out of love. And so I was just really talking to him about, you know, a lot of things that he gives me to share. And it's a blessing to really grow in the grace of God. It's a blessing to know your divinity and understand your divinity and understand your spirituality, because it really is the thing that helps us grow and evolve as a person. And one of the things that I've heard some people say and following me for years, since I've been ministering for years, is that I've gone soft. You've gone soft. And I'm like, no, I haven't gone soft. He's softened me and healed me by his love. And so a lot of things that were in my spirit and in my persons were based on what I was going through and how I responded to it. So at this time in my life, it's a blessing to be in a place to minister God's word, being far removed from the things that he says. One, because I'm not in that path, and I'm not, you know, in that aisle, because I have peace with him through repentance and through reconciliation. So a lot of things that he gives me to minister is truly for heated-headed ears here, for those who need to be reminded and those who need to be warned, which is what Jesus did. He came to warn us. He gave us the woe the woes, and he gave us the beware. As disciples, because we were on the right side of his love. So a lot of things that he gives me to minister, things, I know it's not harsh. To me, it's not harsh because it's not for me. So a lot of things he gives me to minister is for who needs to hear it. And so I understand now how, and I really appreciate those who are true ministers of the gospel, who have the Spirit of God that rests upon their life and really have allowed the Holy Spirit to work in them those things that need to be worked in them for them to be grateful and have those attributes of love and compassion, especially as you get older in age. Those things, we should become softer. We should become more graceful. And I'm so happy to be in that place. And I choose to be in that place despite what I've gone through in my life, to yet have that compassion, that love, and him moving out the rough edges and making this crooked way path straight. It's a blessing. It's really a blessing. So the things that I minister, I understand now that mentioning those things come by love, which is why love is so important. And I'm always amazed at the teachings of Jesus and the Apostle Paul, how they could talk about love in one sentence and the next minute talk about God's judgment, because everything works by love. And I just wanted to just share that with you because, one, serving God and loving God with your whole heart, which is what we're commanded to do, will just push out those things. And as we get older, we should become softer. So in me ministering God's word and whatever he gives me, I'm happy to say that a lot of it is just that. And that's why it's so important to hear the word by the Spirit, not just by the letter of the law. And it's amazing how people can interpret your style of ministry or interpret the Spirit in which you speak or deliver the word of God, and how they can latch on to it and take that as God's personality. And that's why it's so important as you hear the word of God and hear those who minister the word of God, that you make sure that it's coming from the Spirit of God, the love of God, and that certain things are not part of God's personality. It could be just that person, something that could be in that person's spirit that yet needs to be delivered, and not to take that as the fear of God or that person being in right standing with God. but knowing that God's love will shine through in his word. And that's why Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. Because even in ministering the word of God and hearing the word of God from certain ministers that I glean from, how they can actually put you in the place you need to be because of the anointing, because of the presence of God that rests upon their life. And I'm honored to be here to do that for you, that you can catch the wave and receive the impartation that you need, so you can be put right where you need to be. And the word of God does that. Amen. So I just wanted to say that. Now, I'm going to go quickly to Ephesians, the third chapter, because this is what he gave me for the exhortation for today. And it's coming from Ephesians, the third chapter. And I wanted to put the whole chapter on there, but I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that for the sake of time. So I'm going to read from what he says for this cause. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Hallelujah. And I bless God for that, because we are the household of faith. I am the household of faith, and I'm ministering to the household of faith. And that's the beauty about having adoption and reconciliation, because we now have his name. Amen. And having said whom we are named, he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah, in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. Amen, by faith, not by works or deeds or by your religious practices, by faith, because we can't see God with our physical eyes. We can see him through the spirit and through our hearts by believing. And he said that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Hallelujah. And that's the whole thing. Being rooted and grounded in love will keep us, amen, through our trials and tribulations. And that being rooted and grounded in love is in being rooted and grounded in the love of God, in the love of Christ. Amen. So it's really important to make sure that the foundation on everything that you're building or standing on is rooted and grounded in love. Amen. Because, again, love is strong as death. Amen. And he goes on to say, that you would be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, which means understand, with all saints what is the breadth and the width, the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Amen. To know the love of Christ. Amen. That's from the height, the length, the breadth. It covers it all. Amen. So that is the blessing of knowing God and loving God, is how high, how wide, how deep it is with all what? Saints. Amen. And that's what we are. That's what I am. That's what we're yet becoming, is the saints of God. He said, you may know the love of God, love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Hallelujah. Passeth knowledge. And that's, again, what he was saying to me about spirit. Our spirituality that is beyond and past knowledge is about understanding how he chooses to communicate with us and commune with us beyond what we know. Amen. He said that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He goes on to say, now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, or according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. So everything God wants to do in our life, he said he can do it above all we can think or even ask. And so in order for us to be able to receive the possibilities of God, we have to be able to be in a place where we live in that space where we can receive. And that's why I was sharing with you on yesterday, not to let any man judge you on your spirituality and how you choose to receive, because, again, it's personal. Amen. And, again, it's according to the power that worketh in us. Being filled to the brim, to overflowing, having keeping a fresh fire, having the bridegroom's voice and the voice of the bride in balance within you, so that when he speaks and he leads and guides you, you can flow. And he goes on to say, unto him be glory in the church. In the church. Not in the world. In the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Hallelujah. And that's why he said, my word will not pass away, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away throughout all ages. He said, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. And he concludes it by saying, world without end. Amen. So, again, God created the world. It will never end. He said, I'll be with you even to the end of the world. And the end of the world is the end of the world as you know it, as we will know it once we put the work of his life. But the thing is, the world is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all that dwells therein. So I just wanted to share that opening scripture with you. Now, the thing that I love God and him speaking to me about is love, which is something we all should have in the forefront of our life, is love, is that love covers. Love covers. And that's what the Word of God says. Love covers a multitude of sins. And when we have confessed our sins, He said he's just and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the blessing about having our sins covered is that we have peace with God. And so he gave me Psalm 32, the first and second verse. And actually, you know, he gave me this a couple of days ago, and I thought that it was important for me to minister it, because one of the problems with sin, it's not just sin itself, but the fact that the sins are not covered. And when our sins are not covered properly by the blood of Jesus, and our sins are not repented of and confessed by the blood of Jesus, that's when we have a problem. And that's what Psalm 32 declares. It says, blessed is the man whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. Hallelujah. So not only is it important for our sins to be forgiven and covered by the blood of Jesus, which allows us to prosper spiritually, not just naturally so. The word of God said, what if a prophet man gain the whole world and lose his soul? What can a man give in change for his soul? Nothing. So the thing is, he says, blessed the man whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. He won't count it as sin. And he said, whose spirit there is no guile. So that's saying not just for our sin to be repented of and covered, but to have the right spirit. Amen. As the psalmist said in Psalm 51, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. So to have our sins covered is one thing, but to have no guile and no residue from those sins is another thing. So I wanted to read Psalm 32 because that's what he gave me. It relates to him not imputing iniquity. And with Jesus coming and dying for our sins and covering our sins, that only works if we live in obedience and they're covered and they're forgiven. And, you know, we have to daily repent of our sins, because as the word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father who is just and faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen. And so the problem is when we don't confess our sins or pride prevents us from acknowledging those sins. And I'm going to get into that in a minute, because, again, pride is real dangerous, because it covers, it hides, and it really causes a lot of people who operate from pride to create scapegoats. So that's the thing you have to understand about repenting of your sins and confessing them before the Lord and laying them on the altar or the cross, shall I say, so they can be properly disposed of. And when we don't do that because of pride, we end up shifting blame. We use other people as scapegoats. We use excuses and reasoning on why we sin, especially if we sin against our brother and our sister. That's really, really dangerous. And I tell you, I used to deal with that all the time until God really showed me how to deal with that in the spirit, people who were scapegoats you because of their sin. And again, you know, sin is the reason why Jesus came and died for us. It's the fact that those sins are not, again, being repented of and confessed and forsaken. Now, the other scripture she gave me was Psalms 28, the 12th to the 14th verse. And this is where Solomon was saying, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great joy. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. And that goes back to exactly what I was just saying. When the wicked rise, a man is hidden. And when a man is hidden, that means he's being what? The scapegoat. A man is hidden. He's not able to shine. He's not being able to be seen because of the wicked person that has risen. So we have to really be careful not to let people use you as a scapegoat for them not choosing to repent of their sins. Then he goes on to say, he that covered his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall find and have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. And that's the thing about having a hardness of heart. It makes you fall into mischief. And when he gave me this, he started speaking to me about pride, which I was just talking about. He said, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. He said, and a lot of it is because of people being of reputation. And that's when he gave me Romans and John. He said, because when he came and he gave me Philippians, well, let's go right to Philippians, Philippians 2nd chapter, 1st and 8th verse. He said, men have made themselves a reputation, and because of that reputation, because of being man pleasers, they will not repent, because it's more about saving face rather than about having the fear of the Lord. And now I'm going to go to Romans 2nd chapter, the 1st to 8th verse, and read what he said. He said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy. So if you're going to be comfort and console someone, if there's going to be any fellowship of the Spirit when you're talking about God, if there's going to be any mercy you show, he says, fulfill ye my joy. That you be like-minded, having the same love, being on one accord, of one mind. Amen. So in him speaking to the church, he was saying that if we're going to have consolation and comfort and fellowship, let it be according to mercy, that it may fulfill his joy, because that made him joyful in knowing and hearing that the Philippians were following the word of God. Now he goes on to say, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Which is, again, the thing about pride. Pride would always have to put you first. And that's what God says, esteem others highly, more than you do yourselves. And he that's least among you, let him become the greatest. Now he goes on to say, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Hallelujah. Form of a servant. And that's what is needed, is humility. Serving rather than being served. He says, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. Amen. So that's the thing that we should be striving for, to become obedient to God according to his word. Amen. According to how he, although he was born God, he was God in the flesh, he was Lord at his birth, he made himself no reputation. And that's a very dangerous thing when you become a reputation and it's all about your name or your title, and that takes precedence over you remembering why he made you, why he formed you, why he gave you your gifts and talents, which is to be a servant and to serve, rather than to be served and to be worshipped and all this stuff, which is why he gave me Romans, the first chapter, because he was saying to me that when pride comes, then comes shame. And one of the things he was saying to me as I came on air, he just reminded me again what time it is. And he was saying to me that this is the time of reprobate. Time of reprobate. And a reprobated person who has a reprobated mind will call good evil and evil good. They will not, their heart is so hardened, so deceived, they will not acknowledge what they did is wrong. And that's the position God puts a man in. And that's the thing about identifying a person with a reprobated mind. And because he said a person with a reprobated mind is also bent. They operate from a bend. And he said, and that bent is what I gave them because they would not repent. And that's a very dangerous thing because the Lord says that he would grant us repentance. And when the Lord does not grant you repentance, even if you want to repent, you're in trouble. So the reprobates who live their life on a bend, they can't repent because God won't grant it. And I'm sure you've ran across people who always ask God to forgive them, but yet they're doing the same thing. That's because their grace has run out. In the book of Revelation, he said he gave the great mother of harlots time to repent, and she would not. So we have to remember that we are on God's grace and his mercy. And you can repent all day long, but if he doesn't grant the repentance and does not accept it, you're going to continue to see the trespasses, the intrusion of those who God has given unto us like mine. So I wanted to share that because that was something he was sharing with me to give me understanding on why a person that's in a position of condemnation is so dangerous, and not identifying a person who's operating from the spirit of condemnation. The Word of God says that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And the bottom line is, it's the flesh that's the problem. Now, he was saying to me that being in this position of condemnation is very dangerous because where condemnation dwells, there is a lot of demonic entanglement. A lot of demonic entanglement. There is a lot of shadowing. There's a lot of demonic veil, trickery and deceit. And he gave me Romans, the first chapter, the 20th to the 23rd verse, because he said those things are clearly seen. If you have eyes to see, if you have clear vision and clear sight, which is what 2020 is about. For the visible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. That's why he said in the Beatitudes, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears they hear. He said, being understood by the things which, that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He said, there's no reason for it. There's no reason for the transgression. There's no reason for the sin. When they confessed me or professed me, which is what he says in the next verse, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither was their thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. There it is. Puffed up. Arrogant. He said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. Made it all about self and flesh, themselves. Basically making themselves a God. Changing the glory. And so what's happening now is that arrogance, that rebellion, that reprobate who profess God. There's a lot of people who are reprobate, they profess to know God. They talk about God all the time. You see, they changed my glory to look like them. And birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things, whatever it is that you to worship. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, the lust of their own heart, the dishonor of their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, which is what I was saying yesterday, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever, amen. So again, it goes back to what he was saying about being a man pleaser. Don't even want to acknowledge God. Professionally wise, he became fooled. And so the thing that he was saying and reminding me of is that it is he that made us and not we ourselves. And it's by God's grace and his mercy that we are who we are. And as Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And truly by his mercy, we're not consumed. Now, John, the 5th chapter, the 19th through 21st verse, is where Jesus was answering and saying it to those who asked him questions. And him saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these things he doeth the Son of Man likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will." So again, everything that God has created, he's given to the Son. And as the Word of God said, no man who confesses that Jesus is the Lord can call him accursed. So again, you have to be careful in being identify those who truly are sons and daughters of God and those who are really of the Antichrist and are the sons of perdition and those who are goats and tares. Now he goes on to say, "For the Father judgeth no man, but had committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honored not the Son, honored not the Father, which had sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, which is Father God, had everlasting life." So again, we can't say we believe in Jesus and the Lord and we do contrary. Because again, everything Jesus is doing, he's doing because the Father showed him. He's not operating in of himself. And that's the same thing we should be doing. We're to follow the example of Christ and follow the example of those who are in Christ's image and likeness, who he bear witness that we are the sons of God, so that we can have the seal of the Lord. Now he goes on to say, again, he did have that believe it sent me, had everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. And I tell you, that's exactly what happens when you confess the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. You go from death unto life. And shall not what? Come into condemnation. And so the Word of God says that he that's condemned, condemned already. So that goes back to what I was saying at the top of the broadcast and sharing with you about the path that you're on and the aisle that you're in. It's already predetermined. So whatever we do outwardly, whatever we do for our spirituality, to practice it, to feel like we are gods or spiritual, it's all going to manifest the fruit of it. Amen. And so my prayer is that that if you are saved, that you will continue to watch and pray. Amen. And that to know that love is the thing that will cover us and protect us. And that covering comes by God himself based on the plan of salvation and redemption, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By way of baptism, the blood of Jesus, the cross, burial, confession, repentance. And you must remember what the Word of God says. It's appointed once for man to die, then the judgment. once. We can receive many refillings. We can receive forgiveness of sin. But God ultimately, through his son Jesus, is the only one who can bring it to pass. Amen. So I hope that you are one who has the fear of God, the reverence of God, the respect of God in your heart. Amen. Because that's where everything is birthed from the heart. With that, I'm going to bid you peace, blessings, and much love. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon and your evening. I'll be back later in the week to share more with you. Oh, my goodness. I have the prophetic will alignment coming up for the new equinox, the new solar. So I'm excited to begin to work on that. And, again, this has been a blessing and an honor to minister to God's word to you. And I thank you for receiving my testimony, my witness, and just having an ear to hear with the students and to the church. I will speak with you soon. Take care and love ya. Thank you.